I am thrilled to bring to you today my conversation with the very alliterative Barrett Burt, the general manager at Ganahl Lumber in Anaheim, California. On one of my recent trips to the West Coast, I met up with Barrett and he very generously gave me a tour of their location in Torrance, California. If you ever get the chance, you have to check out this facility. It is incredible. I'm not going to go into all the details why, but a fantastic retail experience and a really unique and productive yard. There was so much about this that I loved. Afterwards, we went in, we talked to some of his team, and then him and I got together to talk about his experience. And he has worked at Ganahl for going on 35 years. That will tell you something about Barrett as an individual, and obviously about Ganahl as an organization. I'm thrilled to share this conversation with you, with Mr. Barrett Burt, General Manager, Ganahl Lumber in Torrance, California. As always, thank you for listening. Mr. Barrett Burt, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thrilled you're here. Let's start, actually I should say thrilled I'm here. I came to see you. You gave me an incredible tour of your location here in Torrance, California. Let me get a burning question off to you first. This place had been opened, had been successful. You kind of were given the keys to this, you know, 18-acre Ferrari, so to speak. Can you walk me through some of the questions, the simple questions you asked when you were realizing that while there is a larger footprint here, there was inventory that was kind of piling up and it was kind of cramping certain lanes of traffic? And you were asking some very simple questions, sounds like, over and over again. Can you give context to that story?
Yeah, that's, you know, going back to the early days of knowing the day-to-day in the trenches of moving product and what customers expect. Mm-hmm. And remembering when you were in that position, what you liked to do in your job and what you didn't like to do and what your coworkers like to do and what they didn't want to do, which was the same thing, right? And what you and your coworkers do when the boss goes home for the day, which is a lot less. So you remember all those things. And here, when I got here, the place was jumping. It was doing so great. The numbers looked great, but there were some inefficiencies and I kind of caught it at the perfect storm. So it was kind of low hanging fruit, but just looking at something that we don't like to do as lumberyard operators is when an order gets canceled, we don't like to address that. So there it is. There it is. It's built. It's ready to go. And the job gets delayed and it's dead. Mm-hmm. So you just leave it. Well,
pretty much.
Yeah, that's what operators do.
Around it.
So those were my simple questions to the operations managers was going around and going, okay, what is that? It's pretty simple. There it is. It's got a ticket on it and it's got a date and it's 6 months old and you're going, why? Yeah. And boy, you do that over and over and over again and then really preaching. And I've got a great yard manager and he fully understands it. When you're doing this type of volume, or if even a smaller yard or a bigger yard, it doesn't matter. Returns and dead orders happen every day. So that means returns and dead orders have to be put away every day. And you have to be disciplined. You gotta just get after it. And the culture of, well, I'll get to that later. I'll get to that tomorrow. I'll get to that next week, turns into next month. Mm-hmm. And then now you're tripping over yourself and you got a yard full of crap.
As we were walking around, you were kind of showing me some of the different metrics you guys use and continue to find different ways to really understand what the scoreboard is and how you guys are improving. Can you walk me through from kind of a leadership standpoint on where metrics kind of fit in to what is obviously a very people-centric culture? Because sometimes I've seen in poor examples or where companies run into trouble or we start losing talent is we just overly rely on these metrics to give us an understanding of what we're doing as opposed to
just talking to the people and the products and the processes and how we all fit together to make this happen. So can you walk me through kind of how you guys think about introducing new metrics and how that fits into kind of your day-to-day leadership?
Great question. And boy, it is in the day-to-day leadership. So I'll try not to go on a tangent here, but because there's a lot of moving parts. So I'll describe, we have what we call our will call pit stop.
Perfect example. Yeah, please.
Systems. And so if you think of a race car, think of Formula One going around that track, and Checo is going to come in for a pit stop, and boy, that team is ready. And Checo is going to only be there for 2.4 seconds. And boy, those tires are there, and the whole thing happens. And so what we've taken that mentality and we put it into the will call system. We know our customers are coming to pick up that order. So we want to be 100% completely ready. And then we measure it. Customer comes in. We have a pit boss that greets that customer, gets their name, and has an app in his hand. So think of like it could be a lot of the guys like the phone one, but I think the iPad one is a little bit easier to read. But
this is a custom built in-house app.
And he goes, "Hey, Mr. Customer, you know, you're here. Great. Joe's Construction. Right. Okay, Joe, which job are you on? Oh, I'm on the Santa Monica job. Okay, cool."
Yep.
He hits the button, and then the loader is notified that Joe is in space number 6. And so he knows which rack to go to and grab that order for the Santa Monica job. Also, the desk, the will call desk, is notified to go grab the hardware because that's in a different section. So they're grabbing that hardware and they're getting his receipt, his paperwork ready. And then they're coming out. So you got multiple people helping one customer.
Meanwhile, the meter is running.
The clock is going.
The clock's ticking.
Yep.
Okay.
The clock is ticking. So then Joe gets loaded. The pit boss then grabs the signature, you know, on the pad and takes a photo. And then he hits the clock. Now the clock has stopped.
Okay.
We know how long it took up to load Joe for the Santa Monica job. Mm-hmm. There it is. There's the number of line items. There's the number of board footage. And we know how much time it took. And that data goes right into the system instantly. And you get to go look at that scoreboard. And not only do you get to look at how your team's doing, you get to look at all the will call teams throughout the company. And you get to see how many line items, how many customers, how much board footage, and then what's the time, what's the scoreboard say. And that is, it's right there. And so these different teams, they want to learn from each other. Mm-hmm. This is where I didn't want to go onto a tangent, but I have to. So I will.
Go ahead.
But those teams, they'll get a monthly in what we call an incentive. They'll get a monthly incentive depending on what score they put on the board. So now you've got a team that's really working together as a team because mm-hmm. they want to earn up to $2.20 an hour for the entire month by hitting the score.
Not to go too far in the weeds, but how is that incentive deduced? Is it that, hey, we're going to look at everybody and you have to be more than 50%, or is it something that in theory, if you have an average of under 5 minutes, the entire company can qualify for this?
Yep.
How competitive is that? Because in my mind, I can be accused of being overly competitive, and I'm like, oh no, I want losers at every step of the way. Everybody can't be winners, but there's some obvious downsides to that.
Great question, because this is where I got to give Peter Gunal a lot of credit. He's a genius. Yes, it's a competitive group. And to win, if everybody else loses, you can be a winner. But the way he's got the management team's compensation structured is we make small salaries with the opportunity to make a very large bonus.
Okay.
The bonus is based off of net profits for the location that you work at. You got to meet some goals, you know, like for the will call manager, it will be like, hey, you need to run your pit stop in under 10 minutes, you know, for the year for customers to be get in and out. And the other part of the bonus is based on company-wide profits. If my guy Jake here is doing really, really well, and our buddy Frankie over in Anaheim is trying to figure out how does Jake do that?
Yep.
It is in Jake's best interest to help Frankie figure it out. And Frankie wants to ask for help because he wants his location to be more profitable. So Frankie makes more money and we all win. Mm-hmm. And so those groups of people, they get together monthly and they discuss what's working, what's not working.
People in the same roles for the pit stop at the different locations get together. Yep. And
they are sharing the secrets. Mm. Here's how you do it. And so in that system, there's a live scoreboard. And then just to make it really cool, all those people that are involved get an email every morning with the previous day's scoreboard. And then you get a weekly recap of the scoreboard. And then you get a monthly report of the scoreboard.
Well, that's subtle. I love it.
It's fun. It's kind of like ESPN, you know, the scores across the bottom all day long.
Ticker,
right?
The ticker's always going. People are always tracking. Okay. All right. Last question for you here. One thing that I've noticed from just kind of being with you and walking this location is that you're enthusiastic about the business. And I think that's a very attractive quality. And you probably know a lot of people that don't have it. Is enthusiasm for the business, is that something you can teach?
Well, I don't know if you can teach it. I think the individual just has to decide to learn it. I think as an individual, I mean, I could come to work and look at 100 things and I go to the dark side real quick and just go, wow, this sucks. Because we have so many problems that we have to fix. And boy, how annoying is it to fix the same problem over and over again sometimes? But if you can learn to go, all right, we're still doing that wrong. Okay, here's an opportunity to try a different solution. Sounds really cliche or really basic, right? But yeah, enthusiasm, I guess it's contagious. Maybe that's why I do it. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to answer that question.
Well, I think you are right. I do think it is contagious because just being here, like you get excited about it. And that can wane, right? You can, hey, I love this place and I love the people I work with. And I got to be honest, the last 90 days, the last 6 months have not been fun because of A, B, and C. If you don't have leaders who are enthusiastic and, you know, have a good approach and just want to bring people up and say, hey, yeah, dude, everything's not perfect, but hey, let's have some. One of our core values is a line that I was taught long ago by a guy named Bernie Pallardy. He said, fun ain't free and it never goes on sale. And I said, I love that because you got to work to make sure things are fun because there's inevitably going to be stuff that isn't fun. But if you're not enthusiastic and having fun, then you're probably doing it wrong or you're probably in the wrong space, you know? So anyway.
Yeah, I'll piggyback on that. Gosh, when the salespeople are having fun when they're selling a lot. Mm-hmm. Well, if they're not, you know, to sell a lot, then the operations crew has to ship a lot and the receiving has to receive a lot and credit has to collect a lot and everybody has to do a lot, right? But boy, when you're hitting on all cylinders and all these people have some sort of skin in the game and they personally get rewarded for hitting on all cylinders, wow, it gets fun around here real quick. It's pretty cool.
Well, hey, man, you've been very generous with your time. I appreciate the tour. I appreciate you making time here. And so we'll say thank you.
Thank you, Bradley. Appreciate it.
All right, then, friend, how did that go? Hopefully you got a nugget or two from my conversation with Mr. Barrett Burt. If you are ever in the area, in and around LA, you got to check out that Torrance location for a couple different reasons. But I will say what they're doing with this quote unquote pit stop pickup model, it is going to change the industry. I believe as you go in the future, every single location that is successful will be doing something like this. The question is, are you going to do it in the next 12 to 18 months, or is it going to happen in 5 years, or are lumber and building material dealers not going to do this and be at a severe disadvantage? They are doing it now. They are living in the future, and they're very open to sharing their wisdom and their insights and their hard-earned lessons. So you should check them out.